Those who can, do. Those who can't, DJ. Like Cooper Van Epp, standing in his room, the entire fifth floor of a Hicks Street brownstone, trying to beat match John Lee Hooker with some piece of trip-hop horror on $20,000 worth of equipment he doesn't know how to use. "This is the blues, man," he crows. "It's Memphis Mod." He pauses to pour himself his second scotch of the morning. "It's like then and now, Brooklyn and Beale Street all at once. It's like hanging at a house party with John Lee, smoking Kents and drinking bourbon for breakfast. All that's missing, all we need, are hunger, disease, and a total lack of economic opportunity," I say. Cooper pushes his pork pie back on his head and brays laughter. He's wearing a wife beater and an old suit vest. He's 17, white as cream and twice as rich, trying to look like a blues man from the Mississippi Delta. He doesn't. He looks like Norton from the Honeymooners. "Poverty, Coop," I add. "That's what you need. That's where the blues come from. But that's going to be hard for you. I mean, son of a hedge fund god and all." His idiot grin fades. "Man, Andy, why you always harshing me? Why you always so..." Simone Canovas, a diplomat's daughter, cuts him off. "Oh, don't bother, Cooper. You know why." "We all do. It's getting boring," says Arden Toad, a movie star's kid. "And one last thing," I say, ignoring them. "Talent. You need talent. Because John Lee Hooker had boatloads of it. Do you actually write any music, Coop? Do you play any? Or do you just stick other people's stuff together and call the resulting calamity your own?" Cooper's eyes harden. His mouth twitches. "You're battery acid, you know that?" "I do." "I am. No doubt about it. I like humiliating Cooper. I like causing him pain. It feels good. It feels better than his dad's whiskey, better than his mom's weed. Because for just a few seconds, someone else hurts too. For just a few seconds, I'm not alone." I pick up my guitar and play the first notes of Hooker's Boom Boom. Badly, but it does the trick. Cooper swears at me and storms off. Simone glares. "That was brutal, Andy. He's a fragile soul," she says. Then she takes off after him. Arden takes off after her. Simone doesn't give a rat's about Cooper or his soul. She's only worried he'll pull the plug on our Friday morning breakfast party. She never faces school without a buzz. Nobody does. We need to have something, some kind of substance-fueled force field to fend off the heavy hand of expectation that threatens to crush us like beer cans the minute we set foot in the place. I quit playing Boom Boom and ease into Tupelo. No one pays any attention. Not Cooper's parents, who are in Cabo for the holidays. Not the maid, who's running around opening windows to let the smoke out. And not my classmates, who are busy trading iPods back and forth, listening to one song after another. No Billboard Hot 100 fare for us. We're better than that. Those tunes are for kids at PS whatever the hell. We attend St. Anselm's, Brooklyn's most prestigious private school. We're special. Exceptional. We're supernovas, every single one of us. That's what our teachers say, and what our parents pay $30,000 a year to hear.